This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It is that trim, healthy podcast you've come to love with Serene, Pearl, and Danny and the rest of the cool gang here at The Potty Cabin. And we're so glad you're tuned in, and we can't wait to talk at you today, friends.
Solace is just looking at you, Danny. She's like...
Yeah, she's got me in the tractor beam.
She's sitting by herself today. She's 6 months, and she's sitting and just like staring at you, Danny.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing a pink shirt.
And holding a chapstick.
Yeah. And you are wearing pink, so she's like, she's.
I was a little bit concerned when Danny came in. I didn't know whether I could accept him in with a pink shirt, but it's okay. A brother in a pink shirt, I can do. Not a husband. Oh. My husband doesn't wear pink,
but she'll my husband Charlie will do the pink. Yeah, he feels like he's every bit of man that he can wear pink.
I can do an uncle in a pink shirt too.
But oh, not the husband.
Not a husband.
And Pearl, you've brought a matching in. Is that?
Oh,
or is
absolutely
this
matching in, mate. Okay. But I call it my swamp water in. Because it's a little bit of matcha with a tiny bit of cocoa, so it looks like swamp water, but boy, it is good.
Ooh. I've done that too to try and deepen the matcha, give it a little bit of bitterness too. Yeah.
Are you going to give a brother a small taste?
Yeah, you can if you don't mind my germs.
Yeah, I'll drink out of, you know, where the part of the...
I've been sipping here. If you sip at the handle, you won't...
No, it's the handle. Germs. I always go for the handle when I'm borrowing because we
but
know
you
that no
see
one...
the swamp water lines where it's been?
Yeah. It looks like filth in a cup.
Yeah, but taste.
But don't ever like look down on filth in a cup. That's the yuck yum, you know. It's delicious. And oh, Pearl, yesterday I made a what the heck smoothie. You know Mum's what the heck cookies?
Yes,
same flavors, what the heck smoothie. Oh. And boy did it rock.
This is matching in plus the emotion of cocoa.
Yeah,
I don't mean the taste, but also the emotion.
Yeah, I know, right?
Are you okay, Shwally?
Right. Hey, you know what? We don't have a topic today because we like wipe the topic. Even if we had a topic, today is too good. You guys are like, you are family to us. And whenever we have news to share as a family, we just got to share it. Serene, come on, girl, share your news.
My. Oh, it's such great news. So today, I mean, we saw this coming with the Eye of Faith. And so we are so...
Can't be.
We're not shocked, but we're super glad to have it confirmed by man. But my son Arden is cancer-free.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Totally.
Okay, I thought a baby. I thought you were going to say you were pregnant.
Well, no.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you thousands of people were thinking the same
sitting
thing.
Next
oh, no,
to her
no,
newborn,
no, but Arden and Esther's miracle
baby.
Is about to come too.
We're believing.
No, that is huge. I'm
yeah,
so
is
glad.
Huge. Isn't that fantastic? My husband doesn't even know. I've been trying to call him all morning.
Oh, my goodness.
No way.
Yeah.
And Arden was, you know what's so funny? Arden was over at my house this morning. We were looking at some videos because he does all our videos. He didn't even bother to tell me. You called and he was there in the house. And you're like, Pearl, I know, I already knew this in my spirit, but it just got confirmed. I've been doing cartwheels. Arden got a clear scan. He is cancer free. And I'm like, Arden, you didn't tell me. And he's looking over and he's like, yeah.
So can I text Sam or do you want to? You still haven't talked to him. You'd like
I haven't talked to him, but hey, it's a free country.
But I could be like, congrats, bro, kind of.
I could be congrats. I mean, my mom called and she said, I saw it on Facebook, so you know.
Oh, it's on Facebook.
Well,
I can text Sam.
Esther, Arden's wife,
she's
put
from
it up
Canada,
there.
So she's got family and everything, so she puts
people
her,
have
it
been
out
praying.
There for
hey, but we should tell the story. I know many of you have been along with this incredible story with Serene's son, Arden. It is just a story of God's miraculous healing. Arden's faith, Serene and Sam's faith.
It's
I have to say that
faith in-
I don't want to give glory to my sister too much, but that's, you know, I think that someone should say something about someone when it's due.
Well, come
right?
on. Yes.
I think the hardest thing in the world would be to watch your child walk.
Yes.
Through what yes. Serene watched her child walk through.
Yes.
I know other people have done it. But I don't know. I think God only must give you the grace. When I, Serene, I just, you did it with such faith, such leaning on God, even to go as far as such joy. You never lost your happiness. You were so encouraging to Arden, and you believed. And you know what? And now God's promises have been manifest, and I am in awe of him.
I am in awe of him, and it was absolutely nothing to do with me. You know, he carries us. He carries us. He hides us under the shadow of his wings. And I really, really felt that. I really absolutely felt God's complete grace for the whole entire situation. Does not mean I didn't fall on my face and scream and pound the dirt and, you know, have my moments. But I really believe that God's, not only was God doing that for me, but I had a choice to go either way. But the choice was very easy when you thought, okay, I could sink into depression and freak outness and fear and have every day be miserable, or I could choose faith, right? Faith is so much more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
You know, it works, by the way, and it's, there's power in it. But even if it didn't, it's so much more enjoyable, but it does work, and it is God's fulfillment. And
I have to say something about Esther too.
Oh, we've got to
talk about that. Beautiful wife who walked this journey as a very, very young woman. Arden was diagnosed, and we'll tell the story about it today, the full story, if many of you don't know it. I know tens of thousands of you prayed. Arden was diagnosed just 5 weeks after they were married. So
he was dealing with it when they were married.
No one knew. No one knew. And so, you know, as a newlywed, and she was very young, 18, has walked through this journey with him for over 2 years.
And she walked with like the most mature, like well above her years. So amazing.
Just
she
incredible.
Would pull me up when I was weak. You know, she was a powerhouse, and her name is Esther. And that I believe is prophetic in itself, because I believe she was chosen for such a time that meaning she was chosen for the good years of the marriage, right? For the everything chosen. My point being is she wasn't chosen to go through that as like, I'm going to have you go through that.
Right.
But I believe that she was,
she stepped up to it, the one who could.
You know?
Here's to life.
Yeah, oh, here's to life. And, you know, it's just, it's so, God. And like I said, you know, I was so excited to hear it confirmed, but it wasn't shock. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, faint, fall on the floor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all I'm pleading. It was more like, thank you, God. I knew, for the last few months, I've been having this arise in this knowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, before Remnant was born, that was my 3-year-old, I got this incredible, incredible passage from the Lord. I knew it was from the Lord, because I didn't even know that Remnant was going to be a boy that morning, born the next morning. But I knew that if it was going to be a boy, he was going to be called Remnant. And I had this incredible scripture that said, you know, hearken unto me, all the house of Israel, and the remnant that are called by me from the belly, who are taken from the mother's womb, you know. And it was just before delivery, and it was all about the remnant. So I knew it was so for me.
And we call him Remy,
And we call him Remy.
Rem.
But in that, and I oftentimes feel the Lord bringing me back to that passage, like, read it again, Serene. There's something more in it for you. There's something more in it for you. Serene, this, you still haven't got the fullness, because it spoke to me for Remy and through so many things that he struggled with. But just 2 nights ago, I felt like the Lord said, go back to Isaiah 46. There's something more in there.
Okay.
And you know how we've been talking on the potty about the tongue and about faith and about speaking out and declaring. And God has a timing for that. Sometimes we think, okay, we're going to have faith, but hey, I don't see it. I don't see it, so I'm going to give up. But you see, why would we have to have faith if we saw it straight away, right? Faith is the substance of things that are not seen. And it's calling the things that aren't as though they were. And if they were what we see, we're not calling anything as though it's, but see, do you see what I'm saying? It has to be not looking that way to call it something.
Yes.
God called the water wine. He called the end result. So we called Arden healed. And it's 2 and a bit, how many years later? Mm-hmm. But look at the fulfillment of it. And so in Isaiah 46, it just sprung off the page to me. It says, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning.
Oh, love that.
And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. You know, and I, on the cross, he purposed that healing for Arden, you know, but it's a journey. There's an appointed time to everything. And I just want to thank the Lord for his appointed time. I want to thank the Lord for today. I just want to praise him, but don't give up. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friends who are going through things, wonderful mamas, wonderful you guys who have not yet seen the fulfillment of your faith, the fulfillment of what you're calling forth, because there's an appointed time. There's an appointed time and it's going to happen. We just have to.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like when Abraham, when the Lord came to Abraham and said, you know, you're going to have a son. He said, this time next year, you know, when I come again, Sarah will be bearing Isaac. But the deal is
hold on, it took 25 years. Was that the second time he came?
No, when he came to with the three.
Yeah.
Remember they came and he fed him the...
But
the,
he'd already told him he was going to be a father of many
exactly.
nations.
Yeah. But there was an appointed
time.
Oh,
yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah. And I was even reading in Habakkuk, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. This is Habakkuk 2:3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay.
Yeah. And I think this is such a good topic for today. There is an appointed time. What we don't see instantly should not make you give up. And when we wait in faith. We wait in belief, no matter what happens in the end. You know, we believed fully for Iden's healing because we were called to. There was no other choice. The Bible says, I am the God that healeth thee. What other choice do you have, right? But let's just say he was taken.
Well, you blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Yes.
You know?
But God honored that faith, you know. And I know mothers have lost their children.
Yeah, but
and
taken where?
Hard
like
things.
A millisecond to the next life before
exactly.
us?
Exactly.
Like less than a millisecond?
Yes.
But what? And so there is people out there and listening, and there may have been situations that have gone to the end for this world for them.
Sure.
And like you said, that's the encouragement because we, death, where is there sting in that situation? Of course, there's the grieving. But the sting is taken. They are gone to the real life, the real reality, right? But I don't believe God wants us to give up on his promises for this earth. I believe they are still for this earth.
Yes.
And I believe that he wants us to still call them forth. And to just, you know, Psalms 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You know, just before this scan, there was a scary scan.
Yeah.
You know, they said all this kind of junk.
Oh, the scary scan.
So the point is that God is faithful. And I didn't really need the doctors to tell me it's done.
Oh, I know.
But
I knew, even with this scan, we didn't know. 3 weeks later, we didn't know because the technician read it and said, the technicians aren't supposed to say anything, but Arden asked and they said, well, we still think we see a little something there, but I can't say. A doctor has to read it.
Yeah.
3 weeks went by, nothing.
Oh.
Found out today about the clear scan. But, you know, but even when Serene heard that news about there's still a little something, she said, well, I'm just calling him healed. And you know what? It's not to say you don't, when you have something, you know, affliction comes upon you, we don't have to go around pretending and saying, well, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer. You know, these things happen. But in the Bible, it says to call upon things not as they are. I mean, as Serene said, Jesus called the water wine. We can say in Jesus' name, I am healed.
Yeah.
I mean, I call my body healed. We can call things.
So it's not that, you know, the weird Christian science, that whole weird thing where they deny the existence of disease. They deny, it's almost like putting your head in the sand and just being like, no, 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 like out of your whole consciousness. But no, we realize in that there is something there, but we're just deciding to call it what the Bible calls it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Well, think about the power of, and this doesn't even hold a candle to what you're talking about, but just on a natural, just easily provable level, the power of a placebo pill.
Yeah, right.
So they'll take tests of two people, both are sick with the same thing, or and the real test is more like 100 people.
Right.
50 of them, they'll give an actual cure. And then 50, they'll give a sugar pill, no cure whatsoever. And they find the same level of results in both groups.
Oftentimes,
because the power of belief
Absolutely.
That you are being cured and the belief that you are moving forward, it does inform little cells that become proteins that become, or thoughts rather that become proteins that become cells that become, you know, bigger, 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 and all of a sudden they manifest in your body.
Completely, Danny. And that's the 50% thing, or not even 50%, but that's the science. It's true. Then it's the blood of Jesus that takes you all the way to deliverance. But that's true. There's a science to the fact that we respond to positivity.
It.
We respond to belief. You know, I was thinking today, and then I'll be quiet because I want to, you know, hear what you guys have to say. But I just wanted to say, you know how it says the kingdom of God are for the children? You know, meaning you have to be like a child. Like,
right.
However the scripture is actually written, my paraphrase is, would you like to say it better? It's like, the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God likened unto? Unto a little, is that what it says? Under the
yeah,
little
or,
child?
Or
the
John's
kingdom of God is for the...
Some, there's a couple, and they say you
like
cannot enter
child.
It
right.
unless you are be like a little child.
Okay, so I was
think.
Thinking, okay, we've got to grow up in things and be mature in the word. And the word breathes faith into us. But I was just thinking of just the personality of a little child. They so easily call things forth. Because they have an imagination. Faith comes easy to them, right? Because I was just on the deck with my little three-year-old. And it was like, tiger, tiger. There's no tiger. But he was seeing a tiger. And he was pretending he had a gun. He was pretending he was shooting it. And it was like the unseen world is so much more real to them because they have this imagination. And I was thinking, yeah. God, is that why you say it? Because they believe so easily and we have to have it concrete before our face. No, I can't call the water wine. I can't call this cancer healed because I'm concrete. No, but the children, it's all fluid. It's like, let's pretend. Okay, I'm an elephant and you're a blah, blah. They call things as though they're not.
But that's the currency of the Bible. Yes. Even that's why it seems ridiculous to many people. And that's why so many people, even people that profess to be Christian, says, no, I'm a realist. Sorry, I'm not sure about all this healing stuff. I was brought up as a pastor's kid. I loved and was sincere for my God. And yet in my head, I was a realist. I knew the scriptures that talked about healing was all through the Bible, but I was just too real for that. But you got to become like that little child. I'm not too real for that. The whole currency of the Bible is calling things that are not what they are right now, calling them something else. Like your whole approach, Danny. What if you could be that person? What if you could call that into your body?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You used the word, I was a realist. Whatever you're real about is what is real in your life.
Yeah.
So you were a realist for lesser things.
Yes, I was.
That's the way I'd like to phrase that.
That's so true.
Yeah, you were real. And so your reality that you believed in your mind became real in your life. And you went, see, proof. Realism.
Yeah.
But so does the man living in fantasies who believes he could do anything.
Yes.
And what if you could and all that? It becomes real in his life.
Yeah.
And so for him, he's living in the real world.
Yeah.
And I think it's where you believe from, right? Because you can give things a scent in your mind, but it's the heart and it's a spirit man that can believe that kind of supernatural.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And so I was reading in this incredible book, The Substance of Things, by a man called Charles Capps, and he was talking about how words create images.
Right.
I mean, they completely do. There's pictures in your head
that
come with
words. Yes, and he wrote that, how many decades ago? And then that latest book that we loved, what's it called? Switch on Your Brain.
Yes, what is by Caroline Leaf, Dr. Caroline Leaf.
Yes, Switch on Your Brain, I think, came out last year. Full on science to back everything up. You know, it's just like the way you think causes proteins, becomes matter in your body. So, Serene, go. But he wrote this decades ago,
right,
and he didn't have the science.
Words produce images.
Right.
You can actually form pictures in your head from the words. And even right now, as I ask you about your the front of your house, Pearl, you could start imagining the whole swings you have in the front, what it is. There's a picture to go along with it. As I talk to you about the front of your house, the word is recalling an image. And they also change images too. Words over time can change images. So basically faith is you build yourself up in the word of God and you build yourself up calling the things that aren't as though if they were. You're changing the image of them. You're changing the image of it in your head. And that's so powerful because once there's an image,
then it becomes a tree in your brain rather than just as something that will be lost. It actually establishes roots.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? You know, we said today we're going to do a short party because we've got other things to do. But I do want to go back and share the story of Arden real quick. Let's do it in 5 minutes, Serene. Mm-hmm. For people that don't really know, Daddy's laughing.
Because John just get held up a number two.
Yeah.
And you're like, let's just do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, no. you're already blown. So we got another 20
in
us.
What I love. This end of the story is the best part. And God saw it from the beginning and he called it from the beginning. He called it on the cross.
Oh my goodness.
It on the cross. And so, I'm so excited. Yeah, he was diagnosed 5 weeks after his wedding. And then, of course, Arden and Esther's life from then on was survival.
I do want to talk about the gravity for a little bit of it. This was Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is usually a very treatable, slow-growing cancer of the blood. We've done a lot of research into it because, like, why? I mean, the boy grew up on healthy food, you know, farm food. I mean, just natural things.
Sure.
I mean, if anyone wants to blame it on Stevie, I'm sorry they can't. Arden didn't want Stevie.
Yeah,
he was a honey boy.
Maple syrup and honey.
So, you know, you ask why, and sometimes we don't know why, but, you know, He did have mono at one point as a teenager. He went straight from that job to spraying Roundup on
electrical
things, right, after the mono. Mono is often a precursor to this sorts of lymphoma. When there's an immune system dip, it can morph. The other thing that they find, another big thing, is they ask people with this lymphoma, did you grow up on a farm?
No way.
There's something to do with, they don't know what it is. It might be to do with parasite or something. He did fall into a sewer around the same time on
it
a farm.
Wash up straight away because it was
so
no
we don't
water
know. But all those things were like the perfect storm. Where his
not our
system,
farm,
no. But anyway,
but you know, we don't know what it's could be. None of those things. Could but be. All we know is that, and it's like you can almost talk about it now because it's over. But I still don't want to give it. I don't want to give the Hodgkin lymphoma any like glory in its hugeness that it was. But it was aggressive and it went from nothing to almost fourth stage in a very little bit.
Yeah, he was in the hospital.
We took him down to Mexico first.
Yep. And because they said it's very slow going, you got time, you know? Let's just they had time to do alternative treatment. They went to Mexico and did the very latest and greatest.
We sunk our savings and just went and bam. He everything came, you had, yes. Take it, let him take
but his,
it.
But it was growing so quickly. When he returned, we could almost not recognize him. His growths were taking over his face. He could not put his arms down. He was skin and bone, and yet these tumors were how huge, Serene?
Well, you know.
It was almost hard to look at him.
Oh, I remember the one on his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took over his face.
Do you know how
it was like a football on his shoulder, right?
It was really big. And you know how people will wear a neck brace? Have you seen those white neck braces? Yes. It was like that, but not a brace.
Yeah.
Like his neck had really doubled, almost doubled in size.
And it got worse. You know, he went into hospital because
I can't even do
it was
this.
Pushing against.
Yeah, no.
I can't even do
I know,
this.
But for people.
Yeah. Well,
it was pushing.
Great,
okay, it
fast.
Got bad. We went into hospital.
I'm with
it was
you.
Pushing
the
against
the minute I said
heart.
It, I was like, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted victory in the good
I
stuff.
I know, but you got people need to know sometimes the victory comes because of.
Oh, I agree.
How great God is.
Oh, he's so good. And to
we
tell
can't
the
pretend
story,
all that never happened.
No, I'm not pretending. But, you know, it's just I'm reveling
it's hard
in
for
the
you.
Victory today.
That was a hard place.
Yes. It was a hard place.
Yeah.
You know, he did do medical treatment. But the medical treatment, what they called him was
slow
responder. He did not respond to the regular chemo. Then they tried him on some experiential stuff. He responded partway. Then he did nothing for a long time. And guess what? When he went back to the next scan, we'd just been praying and standing in faith. Mm-hmm. It was less than when he'd been even doing the treatment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we fully believe that God was doing that, whether he used medical, whether he used alternative, you know. There was so much Arden's positive attitude. He was just a trooper throughout all this.
And Esther's support, just so
amazing.
Such a rock.
And
him.
It's just been slowly, slowly, every scan got less and less. Whether he was in treatment or he wasn't, it just started going.
Yeah. You know, and as I was reading some, you know, incredible scriptures about faith, I'm like, oh, wow, like I want Arden and Esther to know this too, that it's done and all this kind of stuff. And I was talking to Pearl about it. She's like, Serene, they know it. Look at them. Every time you ask them how they're doing, great, and they're laughing. It's like sometimes it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm in faith. Sometimes you're just standing and walking in it and you don't even know it. You know?
I know. Hey, John wants to say something here. You can use mine.
Hey, yeah, Serene, I don't want to make you cry. Actually, maybe I do a little bit, but this is for good reason. No, I know when we're Danny, where you going, and I know you were there with me when I say this. And I have a son almost the same age as Arden. To just put into perspective from a bystander who watched this all go down, there was a point where Arden looked rough. I mean, it was rough. And everybody was praying really, really hard. But I think, you know, Danny, I mean, back me up on this. We were all kind of, that's kind of rough. It wasn't like he just came back from a mosquito bite. I mean, this was rough. So I just think it's just to put it in perspective. Yeah. I mean, he to go from where he was to where he is now is just epic in the biggest of ways. So just to lend credence to what you guys are just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it is huge, huge, huge victory.
It was, you guys are correct. I suppose I wanted to revel in the victory of it and just say it and then move on. But you're so true. God does get the glory by showing how much he was delivered from. And so in looking back, Yes, when Esther and Arden and Sam and I took him into the emergency room, we're just like, we can't sit back and just watch him die. We have to do something. We have to keep moving forward, even if it's, you know, the very thing we hate, you know, like chemotherapy and everything. It was tumors were pressing on his heart. Tumors were pressing on his lungs. He was in critical care. It was
rough.
He was the skinny as a Jewish concentration camp victim.
The most fascinating thing for me watching that all go down, and I think Pearl mentioned it like earlier today, or you know, when Arden was sitting in her very like sitting there and didn't even say anything the entire time. The entire time this was all happening to Arden, it's like he never missed a beat.
Now, he was like oblivious to it.
He'd walk into a room and the room would just be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, my heart goes out to you. Like internally we're thinking it's, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And Arden just be standing there like, what?
Yeah. What? He wasn't aware of it. Like there were no mirrors in his home.
But it's weird. I just mad amounts of respect.
Yeah.
To Arden. He never, ever missed.
Of all the people afraid, Arden was not one of them.
No. he didn't even have time for it. No.
And as a woman, I think Esther, you know, she felt all of it, but she wore it like a Navy SEAL on steroids.
Yeah, you guys saw a side of Esther that we didn't get a chance to see. But tons of respect there, too, because, just freshly married.
Her new husband.
Shoot, but yeah.
The fulfillment of all a young girl's dreams has finally happened, and now what?
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah.
But, you know, but I think, how strong? You got to go through that from the beginning of your marriage. How strong are you going to be for the rest of it, you know, and how much they can speak into other people's lives of having going that. And now we believe. We call into being what is not there. We call a pregnancy.
Oh,
because God has promised things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Arden always said, I would say sometimes to Arden when he was sort of looking bad, you know, I'd say, are you feeling, how are you feeling, Arden? I just, you know, people ask you, how are you feeling? You say, oh, great, Auntie Pearl.
And he'd be like constantly itching himself and pulling on his hair and scalp because one of the symptoms was like a real constant itch all over his body. And he would be pulling on himself constantly while he was saying, oh, I feel great.
Even during chemo, he said he felt great. Now, he wasn't in denial, I don't think. It was just this decision.
We'd be going up there to give him, like, bring food to the hospital and think we were just going to, we're going to sit in the corner and just sing soothing songs over him. And he'd be, like, you know, on his phone, checking out four-wheelers and whatever. Like he was moving on to his next hunting move and the things he was going to do when he got out of the hospital. Why do I have to sit here in this hospital? Like, I've got
stuff to do
in life.
It was as if he was living in a fantasy. And let me say that his – and I know it doesn't work out this way for everyone, and that's actually okay – but it was as if the fantasy he was living in came true.
Yes.
And so he, in a very real sense of the world, was being a realist, just on a maybe a little bit higher level than everyone around him.
He was being a realist. He was just calling it. Oh, no, I feel great.
Yeah. And that, if that's anything, that's the theme of my life, is the fantasies coming true.
Yeah.
And not because it's me. I feel like that's the theme that I want everyone to have in their life is, what are your absurd fantasies, you know?
What, the good ones, and we're not talking about weirdo fantasies.
What are your absurd, life-giving, beautiful fantasies that heal the world and heal your relationships?
And it seems trite to relate this to a trim, healthy mama journey when someone's come back from cancer and, you know, and
no, this is
healed.
The stuff of our life, though.
But we didn't see it. We couldn't see what was happening. And if you're there and you're stuck and you're like, well, I've got so far to go, I don't see myself trim. But when you call it and you're like, no, I will be. This is a promise.
Hey, let me just speak about this. Truths have reciprocal truths.
Truths?
Truths. There's a reciprocal thought to them, which is like, so faith, listening to the word of the Lord, hearing it, especially spoken out of your own mouth, builds your faith because it creates images, okay? The images of you heal. The images creates those pictures.
Yes.
So listening to lies of the enemy, listening to defeat, listening to failure, listening to fear, which is the opposite of faith,
right,
creates images.
Yeah.
And it creates they have seed time and harvest. You sow the seed of faith and it produces in your life. You sow the seeds of fear and it does produce. So people, it's sad that it's sad, but it's a lore of faith, right? And I'm not talking about anything wacky or anything ridiculous. I'm just saying, but the more you listen to lies, like I'm never going to lose weight, I'm always going to be heavy, I never can do this, the more you create the image of you as a failure, as an obese person always, that is creating a picture, and it's almost an impossibility to beat that, no matter how healthy you eat.
No, it's so true.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I just challenged somebody with this, and I actually, here's a sneak preview of the old What If You Could book.
Yeah.
Is a challenge to not look in the mirror for 3 days.
Wow.
Because of this image thing is so powerful. Mm. And what we do, we look in the mirror and we then confirm usually a negative image or a negative identity that we have. Even though the world around us may see beauty, when we look in the mirror, if we believe something, that's what we see. And so it's a challenge to not look in the mirror for 3 days.
How can I put my makeup on?
And you just, it's the weekend, you're not wearing it.
All right.
And all the while identifying with the future you, the fantasy you. And because see, if you're, can I just use plain words?
Please. Yeah.
If you're the fat girl in your mind.
Right.
Okay, I don't like that word, but no. Like, I wouldn't call anyone that.
No.
But we call ourselves that.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
When we look in the mirror, we go, there's the fat girl. Okay? And if when you are the fat girl in your mind, the fat girl eats a certain way.
Yeah.
But the skinny girl doesn't. And I don't mean skinny for skinny's sake. Let me say it better.
You mean trim.
The trim you is not congruent with a Krispy Kreme donut every morning.
Right.
And so if you're the trim you, even though right now it's just a bizarre fantasy that you don't even think is real, if you begin living in your bizarre fantasy, you'll find that certain lifestyles become incongruent with your new identity. And that's why I think a good 3 days without the mirror, so that your brain can decide who you are.
Oh, the pictures of it. You're saying you're going back to Serene's ideas of these pictures in your head.
The image.
So you're renewing your mind.
Yeah, renewing your mind. Image and identity are very deep.
And it's also too, like we were saying in the whole Foxy Mama thing, where people have had abuse, or they've just had bad marriages, or they've had infidelity, and there needs to be faith, trust built back up, or maybe they just got low hormones and they're just not there. You know, but
you mean with intimacy and marriage when it's lacking?
When
it's lacking,
pictures in the head, not in an evil way, but in a way of like, okay, the healthy ones of being with your your husband or your wife, they can renew that instead of seeing pictures of the abuse, pictures of the unforgiven that you just can't move past.
Yeah.
But the new pictures is what you're dwelling on. Are you dwelling on the unforgiveness? Are you dwelling on the abuse? Are you dwelling on you?
The
and
good,
beautiful
the new and the
anticipations.
Good. That's why I love what the Bible says. Whatever things. And it didn't need to say this, right? But it did.
Right.
It's so not even like spiritual or lofty. So any of you who are like, you know, aren't Bible believers like us, you got to love it. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, meaning good news, good things about yourself, think on these things.
And
it just says it. Think about them.
And if you think of yourself as the unsexy, because I've got the wobbly thighs and I'm 80 pounds overweight, and so I can't give myself to my husband because I just feel bleh. If you think that image is that of yourself in your head. But then of course you're not going to have the desire. You're not going to have the hormones. The hormones are going to tank.
Yeah,
but if you think of yourself in the different way that you are not that, you think of yourself completely differently, I bet you there's going to be a lot more open doors in that area.
Yeah,
get your mind right.
Oh, it's so true. Hey, let's go to our superfood spotlight.
Trim Healthy Mama Superfood Spotlight.
I love me some eggplant.
I know you do, Serene, because you told me about your latest breakfast yesterday, and it was full of eggplant.
Well, even before the breakfast, if I go to an Indian restaurant, I'm ordering curried eggplant. Oh, there's nothing like it.
I love the succulence of eggplant. They are so soft, and it feels like, you know how a lot of vegetables are crunchy? Let's just say it feels like you're eating a vegetable. Eggplant to me feels like I'm eating dairy or something.
Yes, it's so creamy. And I love baba ganoush, which is the Middle Eastern eggplant dip. And it's so
soft and creamy. Soft. Danny, how are you with the eggplant?
I'm quite quiet right now.
And unacquainted?
I mean, you're talking
what if you
like
could,
a language
Danny?
I don't speak. No, I've I don't know if it's bad or good.
You haven't even tasted it.
It's just a foreign
object. Okay, just look at the color, that dark purple.
No,
that,
it speaks to you.
Just stop right there.
The color means something.
The dark purple, that's actually so high in an antioxidant compound called nasunin. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Nasunin. Nasunin. But that has such incredible anti-cancer fighting properties. What it does is it stimulates new growth of blood vessels and blood supply. So it's angiogenic is what they call it. And it's absolutely incredible. It comes in that purple,
rich skin. It stops the blood supply of red blood cells to tumors.
Yeah, and then starts a whole new healthy.
Yes.
The skin in particular.
The skin in particular has what they call it's anthogens. How do you say that?
The deepest I know of eggplant is the little emoticon on my iPhone, the little eggplant that I'll just send
it randomly. Also has chlorogenic acid, which is one of the most highest antioxidant for antioxidant activity. Like, it's so high in fighting free radicals.
So in normal language, that's fighting free radicals in your body that are not supposed to be there.
Of course, it's so high. You know, it's so low in calories and so high in fiber, but yet so dense in nutrition.
That's what I mean. You think of fiber things as like that fiber taste in your mouth. But how could something be so creamy, be so full of fiber and weight loss? It is one of the lowest calorie vegetables. We could go on and on. Brain health.
What's it
B
taste?
Vitamins, health. Folate, vitamin C, vitamin
A. Very neutral,
A.
Danny. It has barely a taste. It's just a succulent.
It takes on. It takes on the flavor. That's why I feel like it's so yummy in Middle Eastern and Indian foods, because it takes on all these spices.
It's a raft of sorts.
But guess what? If you roast it, it gets like almost a smoky flavor.
Here you go. Get an eggplant, chop it, dice it.
You want to know what I do?
Yeah, I will. We're going to go there. And little coconut oil, salt and pepper, nutritional yeast, roast it. It's going to rock your world, Dan. Have it with like sauces, curried sauces, things like that.
Like stick the thing whole in the oven.
You can do that too, but you can chop it first
poke it with a fork when you put it in the oven so it won't go pop.
That's if you want to do the whole thing, and then
You scrape the inside out and do whatever you want with the insides. That's how you'd bake it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about dicing and baking, Sereni.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, if you want to do the whole thing,
you
fork it, and then once it's baked and cooled, you scrape that inside out.
But this is something that Sereni, I'm about to go buy eggplants for this very reason. Sereni told me about her breakfast. She said it's the most delicious thing in the world, and I think maybe eggplants will run in shortage
because
of
this. So, Danny, because you haven't tried it yet, the eggplant has nothing to do with eggs.
Yeah,
but I have it with eggs in the morning. Eggplant with eggs.
Oh.
Egg on eggs.
Tell us what you do.
What is the name for this?
We'll do a video on it, but still.
I cut up as many eggplants as I want in my big steamer, okay?
So do you cut them, dice them?
Not dice them small, just rough chunks.
Rough chunks.
I leave the skin on because of that nianosin or whatever I said, right? Mm-hmm. Amazing. But if you don't want the skin, it's still healthy without it. Mm-hmm. I steam it in a steamer until it's so nice and tender. And then I let it cool and put it in the fridge in a nice Tupperware container.
In chunk form.
Chunk form. Then in the morning, I wake up and I just stick a nice amount in my skillet. No oil, no nothing. Just warm it up because it's got enough moisture in it.
Right.
And then I scramble my eggs onto it and I put any spices I want, just delicious. I put salsa and black pepper and nutritional yeast and a bit of mineral salt. It's so yummy. And then at the end, I add my healthy fat, whether it's coconut oil or red palm oil or butter or whatever you want, and then sprinkle the cheese over top. So all the oil floating.
You do a little
sharp. I do sheep's cheese, but anyone could do whatever. And it's like it's not that much oil, but it's like you've heavily fried it in such a naughty way that all the oil's on top.
And it goes – oil merges with eggplant in a way that it does with no other vegetable.
When you cook it with the oil, it's delicious. It just tastes extra exquisitely luscious. But when you put the oil on top, it tastes so naughty and nice at the same time.
But you know what I'm look, she's holding her toes. It's so cute.
And your shit.
What I'm going to try, Serene, because I love fried eggs so much, is I'm going to do the eggplant your way. Steam up a whole bunch, roughly cut, have it in the fridge. Then I'm going to heat it up in one side of the skillet. I'm going to fry my eggs in the other. Then I'm going to put it on. Then I'm going to add all my seasonings and my oil and stuff, and I'm going to tell you about it. Because we've always said, hey, have veggies in the morning when you can. And you can do kale. You could do zucchini. You can do mushrooms, all of those. But Serene says that eggplant rocks them all.
Oh, and it makes me so full.
Yeah.
It is so high in fiber. It's why it's so great for diabetics. It's the very satiating fiber in an
eggplant. Yeah, it lowers blood sugar like almost other, like okra and eggplant are almost right up there as the most powerful blood sugar lowering.
And I tell you
things.
What, I'm a nursing mum and to kind of like quell that hunger.
Yeah.
It's almost a bit miraculous. And I tell you what, that
you
eggplant.
You can make it to lunch.
Oh, easy. I have to tell myself, you know, it's lunchtime now. I suppose I should eat.
So it has an incredible, like, munchy curbing ability.
Totes.
I'm trying it. Hey, see you guys.
Bye.
See ya. Trim off your mama my way. And then I'll be
trim off your mama to stay. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.